2212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212212 Thursday, March 10th, 2022. It's 8:06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I come to you Sunday through Thursday at around 8 o'clock p.m. in the evenings. And I'm putting up a little slide as per the advice of Mr. Marcus Allen of EscapeTheNewNormal.com. And there you can see that we do a show Sunday through Thursday around 8 o'clock. And tonight we have Mr. John Friend of TheRealistReport.com coming on. And he should be joining us shortly on Skype. You can tune in on Skype. You can rather call me on Skype. My username is Fakeologist. Or you can call in to the program. Everything is at fakeologist.com/contact. And here we talk about media fakery, 9/11, psyops, and of course the biggest hoax in the history of the world, coronavirus hoax. Coming up to that special second year anniversary on 3/11/2020 when Mr. Tedros said that this can be characterized as a pandemic. Didn't say it was a pandemic. He just said it can be characterized as a pandemic. So way to go, Mr. Tedros. 2 years later, we're still talking about it. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? Most of you are listening live on the FakeoTube channel, FakeoTube.com. YouTube still hasn't given me a new channel, which leads me to believe they probably will not give me a new channel. So if you're looking for me on YouTube, you won't find me. So you just got to be on the FakeoTube. And you can also go to Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, be live as well. They all work. But I would prefer if you hit me up at the FakeoTube. If you sign up at the FakeoTube, you will get an email saying that I'm broadcasting live. I should possibly I should possibly be figuring out how to send a message on your phone. I don't know if anyone's interested in that. I can probably set up some kind of text channel thing. Or maybe there is a FakeoTube app for Android. I think there's something that I can do to make that send you an alert on a notification. I think that works very, very well. I think a lot of people that are on their phones rely on notifications. Now, I send an email. That is a form of notification. And if you have email notifications on your phone, then, of course, you'd get there's an email, but maybe people would be find it more useful to get a notification from the FakeoTube app on their phone. Now, the app on your phone is free, as far as I can tell. On the Apple iPhone, iOS, there's no specific FakeoTube app, but there's an app called A Video. And you can plug in your FakeoTube credentials into that. All that is on the top of the FakeoTube page. If you go to the very top, you'll see mobile apps. You can click mobile apps. And there you go. There is the two links. And you'll get the white label version. Or you'll get the generic version. You get the white label version. I only have a white label version for Android, Google Play, but not for the iOS because they wanted me to take down all the videos, which, of course, defeats the whole purpose of FakeoTube. So Apple is a censorious organization for sure. Okay, we're waiting for our guest, Mr. John Friend. He's been on before. I wanted to talk to him about the Sabbatean Franks. I put a post on that. And as we constantly are going to trying to figure out who is on the top of this food chain, we will talk to him about the Sabbatean Franks. It sounds a little closer to the truth. And if you scroll down here, you should be able to find it. My post. I got, yeah, the influence of the Sabbatean Franks from Winter Watch, Ross Winter. Maybe John knows Ross Winter. Maybe he's interviewed him. I don't know. John does a lot of interviews. This is his site, The Realist Report. And John does regular interviews as well. I'm not caught up on all his interviews. I'm really just all over the place in the places I listen to. I've got Rumble coming in, podcasts coming in. It's pretty hard to just be up to date on any one person. So John will give us a quick update on what's going on his site. He's a 9/11 realist for sure. Don't forget this Sunday, we've got Sanity for Sweden coming on. And that's going to be a 1400-hour Eastern American time, Eastern Daylight Savings Time in America time. And look at this. He did another promo today for the show.
Good morning. On Sunday, I will be on a live chat with Fakeologist at 8 p.m. Central European time. I will post the link below here, and you can check it out. Yeah, looking forward to it. So I did a video this morning, and it's about Austria and Sweden. Sweden will no longer be different. Right, the link will be below. Be good.
I'm not sure why he puts that on BitChute. He doesn't put his whole video on BitChute. He just does a promo video on BitChute. But he has a lot of subscribers. And I just like the guy. He's got 18,000 on BitChute. On Rumble, he has, how many subscribers does it even say? I don't even see the subscriber count on Rumble. I don't even know if it shows what happens if you unsubscribe. Subscribe doesn't show the subscriber count. Don't know why. All right. But he has quite a few views. And I get tons of referrals to the Fakeologist site from his site. And let's just have a quick look today at who showed up to the site, my site. Let me just see if I can find it here. Statistics, site statistics. I think I've doubled my views to the site in the last 2 days since he's been promoting us. Let's take a peek here. Yeah, today wasn't as good as yesterday. Yesterday I had about 1,800 hits. And today I have about 1,000 hits. And they're all from BitChute. So that means maybe the Rumble post didn't have a link to it. I don't know. Is he on YouTube? Let's take a look. Let's take a look for Sanity or Sweden. Okay, maybe he is on here. Let's see. Maybe that's why. Oh, that's why he did the promo like that. I see. He put his YouTube promo on. Okay, I get it. That's how it works.
Good morning.
Okay, so that's what he's doing. I getcha. His promo piece gets 3,000 views. That's pretty impressive. Okay, so yeah, I did get a few links from the YouTube. Okay, that's why I got so many links from YouTube today, because YouTube is useless, as one might expect. It doesn't tell you where on YouTube the link came from. They are just such a pain, YouTube. They just don't want to help you at all find out where your stuff comes from. Now, let's see if I can dial. I'll see if John's ready. get him up 15 minutes ago. It's been about half an hour. Maybe he's waiting for me to dial him up. I don't think I did much posting today. I don't think I put anything on FakoTube today. And I don't know if I had too many posts today. So hopefully John Friend will have something interesting to say. Otherwise, we'll end the show early. Unless somebody calls in. A Midwestern doctor releases a VAERS report. So now, finally, the doctors, 2 years later, are starting to talk. What else they got to lose? They can see the whole thing is spiraling out of down the toilet, this whole COVID thing. And here's a doctor that posted a whole huge Substack. And Steve Kirsch promoted it. Steve Kirsch is definitely one of the leading revealers of the vaccine damage that is illustrated in VAERS. And on the vaccine, I guess I have a post under the coronavirus hoax 2020-2030 in the Fakeologist forums. Vaccine damage reports. Looks like today there's a new post. So you click here. If you're logged in, it'll take you to where you left off. And looks like Rachel made a post a few weeks ago. Looks like a week ago. All kinds of good stuff here. Edward Dowd. Lots of reports. And Antipodean was doing a post on something about Pfizer being delisted from the stock exchange. I don't think that's right. John Friend saying he'll be a few more minutes. He's busy. Yes, a lot of people are busy, worried about Pfizer. Made some kind of filing with regards to being delisted. I don't know if that's right. I didn't really read it. I'm not really getting involved or too interested in this whole thing. But I read on Jessica. Let's look her up. Jessica Rose. She had a link about this. And apparently they're just delisting some of their corporate bonds. So they're not delisting their shares. Apparently that's what's going on. Oh yeah, they're delisting 0.25% notes due in 2022. That's all they're delisting. So I will post this link in response in the Fakeologist forums. So I'll put the link there. All right. Marcus wants to join in. I will send you the link, Marcus. No problem. If I can find it. Here we go. Boom. Okay. Marcus is going to slide into the chat tonight. Yeah, Marcus Allen will slide in. Jerry, I don't know if we're going to do a 311 hoaxiversary with JLB. Yo-ho.
Yo.
Is this Marcus Allen, the guy that wasn't coming on the show ever again?
Well... Do you want me to get, should I tell everyone the inside scoop or we'll just say, yes, it's me.
All right. That's fine. John did say he was going to come later. He's just delayed, but you're certainly welcome to hang about because, sure. Have you ever talked
I'm
to
not religious, so he might not like me.
Have you ever talked to John Friend?
No, but he's very religious and obviously I'm not. So,
well, I'm not either, but I don't think John is either. I think he just just
well, I thought he was super religious.
No, I don't think he's religious at all. I just think that he's convinced the Jews are in charge of everything and they're the cause of all the world's problems. And we don't always talk about that. I try and steer him into other truthful topics. But one thing that came up recently, well, I've been looking into it for a little bit, was the Sabbatean Franks. Because I think if I was going to run the world, I would definitely make it really hard to pin down who I was. And maybe I would hide within a minority, within a known targeted group, so and make laws that say you can't criticize me. I think I would do that. And sure. I don't think there's a ton of research or explanation about who they are, but they do kind of reveal their beliefs. And I think those are the beliefs that they've been pushing on us for a long time. And I don't think they're mm-hmm. consistent with the common Jewish faith that most of us know about. So that's my thesis. I don't dwell on it too much, but I know some people like to harp on it. I think it's a bit of a trap to get us talking about things we're not supposed to talk about, and then they can just come after us and blow us away.
You just reminded me, did you hear what happened to DuckDuckGo today?
No. I don't hear about anything that goes on a daily basis. You're the one that seems to be on the cutting edge of information on a daily basis.
Yeah, they're filtering Russian disinformation off their search engine. And they're getting absolutely roasted in the comments on the Twitter announcement about it.
Okay. Do you have a link? That would be interesting. And yeah, is that Russian disinformation that Putin considers the disinfo? Or whose side is this?
I have no idea. All I know is I looked up. I know that their headquarters is less than 40 minutes away from my house. And I was literally going to go
drive over,
bring my video camera there and go like try to, it's a very small office they have.
And you said,
and I was going to try to get an interview.
Oh, that'd be great. And you said that, Google owns DuckDuck. No. Well, you were, no, that was Odyssey. Do you think Google has something to do with DuckDuckGo?
Right. Well, duck.com mm-hmm. was owned by Google and they gave DuckDuckGo that domain for free.
Right, right.
Why would your main competition who slams you all the time, oh, Google's awful, they censor your results, and then Google gives you a free domain?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Sure.
But I
did.
Say
duck. Go ahead.
But I did. I am getting more views or more search hits from DuckDuckGo. They seem to have passed Google. So I don't really know what the hell's going on.
Well, that gets into Friday, what's happening in Russia. Russia has put out an order, apparently, that all Russian businesses have to be under the .ru domain starting on Friday.
Okay.
And the reason I think they are doing that is because Yandex is one of the best search engines out there that doesn't filter. And that makes it so that on Friday, someone like me in the United States won't be able to use Yandex.
Oh, is Yandex Russian?
Yes.
Okay.
Where would you like me to send you the links? And I'm not taking notes tonight.
Okay, me neither. Well, you can put them in FACO too, be logged in there.
Nope. Want me to send it to you in the restream?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Right, let's bring this up here. Okay, here we go. Yeah, this is too much information. I'm suffering from information overload when it comes to Ukraine. I almost don't care. I guess people keep up with it like it's a movie. It's an ongoing movie, but I just...
It is a movie indeed.
Like so many, I'm sick of da-da-da-da-da. I'm sickened by...
That's the next video. That's mm-hmm. the next video I'm working on, which I told you about last night. It's, mm-hmm. The Ukraine CGI war. Nothing is real that you're saying. Nothing. Zero. Mm-hmm.
Are the Russians putting out much CGI material? Are they doing their part? I wonder.
It's whoever the worldwide media is uh-huh. there. It's another 9/11. It's a media inside job. It's not Russian. It's not Ukraine.
Trust God.
By the way, that was a very excellent Chris Sky post you made just today with all the pharmaceutical companies in Kiev.
Oh, right. Yes.
I don't know what to make of that, but.
Yeah, I just forwarded that from Chris Sky into the Telegram Fakeologist channel. So I didn't. Sometimes I just bounce stuff around, and yeah, it would be better suited in on the Fakeologist site for people to see, because there's lots of people that don't log into Telegram, so they don't see it. But it just shows you that there's so many information sources. Chris Sky is always spewed a lot of great truth.
Yeah,
it's his delivery that people are turned off, especially women. They just don't like his delivery. He's very mm-hmm. confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then yeah, what you're talking about, it's a TikTok video that who knows, mm-hmm. I can't really see who did it, and they're just showing all the global pharmaceutical companies that are in Kiev. But maybe these guys are in most major cities. I don't know.
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, I live near, right down the street. It's in Paoli, Pennsylvania, where DuckDuckGo is.
Yeah.
Down the street where I went to high school, Radnor High School, is Merck.
Okay.
Well, then you go to Great Valley, and then there's another one, but there's not 32 of them in the same area.
Amanda Vollmer, who I do like. She is posting tons of stuff, and I think she's making some kind of comment on Chris Sky. I'll bring it up on the screen. News release. Wide rally with Chris Sky. What's this all about? Okay. Police on guard continues to demonstrate that we stand with the people, and da 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 da. With that in mind, we have made a board decision not to affiliate with Chris Sky, as his behavior towards Canadians on multiple different occasions has been flat out disrespectful and uncalled for. This does not align with who Police on Guard is, our mission statement, or how we operate. Wow. So there's lots of dissent in the ranks of so-called truth leaders. What's your take on all the Canadian truth leaders? And by the way, I also thought, what's going on with the American trucker convoy? I haven't been paying attention to that. Is that going on
it's
still?
It's end-to-end, 62 miles. And okay. The last truck is literally in front of the first truck on the Beltway. So they've circled it twice, but apparently you can't. It's illegal to have a convoy that goes into two states in a row or something. It's some.
Oh, that's a federal law.
Yeah, federal law, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, anytime anything crosses a state line, it becomes federal. That's how they get there.
Right.
Okay. So, if we look.
Right, so, it's Maryland and Virginia mm-hmm. that the Beltway passes through.
Right. So, they have to jam everyone into Washington, or.
I don't know the D's. All I know is I heard that it was end-to-end. Last truck was touching the first truck.
And,
but again, protesting, I've always said protesting empty buildings and government buildings is ridiculous. If you want to do a convoy, you know, go to Seed and Company in New York City, go to the IMF in Georgetown, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Gary Gensler's house. I actually have his address. I'd be thrilled to give anyone who wants it his address at home.
Who's that? Sorry?
Gary Gensler, he's the one who is the SEC chairman now.
Okay.
I actually took his Bitcoin class at MIT this year. That's why you haven't heard much from me.
Okay. Is that was
I went
on
to MIT.
I
graduated.
That was online?
Yeah, it was online. Yeah.
I just typed in truck convoy. Let's see if anything comes up here. I don't see anything in the U.S. I'm not looking very hard, but just so much to look for all the time. What is your take on the Canadian convoy leaders? Do you think they're real?
No.
Not at all?
No. Well, I know Pat King is a Freemason. I've shown you that.
Okay.
I've shown you the hand sign with that.
Is that enough to convict him?
No. But when you add everything up and, you know, none of it makes, again, you're protesting empty buildings. That's the first tip off for me. Why aren't they protesting? Why not go to Trudeau's home if he's really someone to go after? Why not go to his cottage?
Yeah, well, it's all in the same area, I believe. He lives down the road at 24 Sussex. I know where the address is. It's right across from the Embassy of the Holy See. There's an actual.
So then go take your trucks and go circle, just drive really slow around his home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why are you circling, you know, empty government buildings? That's crazy. It's a complete waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I've been saying this for decades.
I think the Toronto, I think the Canadian thing was definitely well worth it, though. There's too many positive things that came of it, so I'm not going to.
Oh, I'm not saying that, but you asked about the leaders at the top.
All right. Let me bring John in. Oh, my God. Is that ever loud? Blow my ears out. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. I've got someone you may know on the Riding Shotgun tonight, Marcus Allen of EscapeTheNewNormal.com.
Okay. What's up, Marcus?
What's up, John? Long time since I've heard your voice.
Yeah. Yeah, how you guys been?
Everyone's good. I was just going, you know what I was doing? I fired up my Skype. I don't usually have it up. And I was just going through all some of my old chats. Skype has a good way of keeping all your old chats. I was going back to 2014 to see if any of these people are still around. So that just reminded me of you. And I thought I'd just put a little wave, you know, the little wave sign and see who responded. So you responded. So that was cool.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think the last time we spoke was what, right around like the beginning of the fake coronavirus pandemic?
Exactly. And
it's been a while.
And I went to your website, therealistreport.com, and it's still humming away, which means you're still active in this whole truther scene, which is great. So I thought I'd touch base, get an update with you. And I also ran into an interesting article about Sabatier and Franks. And I know that's definitely part of your wheelhouse, the stuff you like to talk about, who's at the top, who they are, what their religion is, and their false religion, that kind of thing. So I bounced that article over to you to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, I'm not like that knowledgeable about this whole Sabatier Frankism topic. I mean, I'm sort of familiar with it. I've heard of it, but you know, I'm certainly no expert. But yeah, it is definitely interesting. I thought it was interesting that you sent it to me because in the past, you seem very skeptical of this idea that Jews are behind much of this deception we see in the world today. And this is, you know, obviously a very Jewish movement, at least from what I've read.
Right. And when you say Jews, though, it always just conjures up, just like when people say the Muslims are the ones that are bombing everything. I guess that's gone away for the last couple of years. And it just seems like too easy an answer. And that's why I always think the easy answer has to be wrong. But on the other hand, there still could be sects or cults that could be sort of hiding among mainstream religion. I'll buy into that, no problem, because it's pretty obvious that there's quite a cult-like group at the top that's running things. And now we're in the COVIDian cult where they're all trying to turn people into COVIDiots or COVIDians. So there's so much cult-like behavior. And then tying it in with my other research, elite gender inversion, which I have fun with, and Baphomet, and just all these things sort of lead to this demonic, crazy, genocidal cult. I just don't want to associate that with your average synagogue down the street. You see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, it's a distinction, I guess, that has to be made. But I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just sort of frustrated with it because you look at all of the key positions of power and influence and virtually every aspect of society, the federal government, certainly the media, the banking system, you know, Hollywood, all of it. It is Jewish individuals that have control and influence and power. And it's no secret. It's very obvious. I mean, just take a look at the Biden administration. His cabinet is almost exclusively Jewish. I mean, you know, it's not all Jewish, but a lot of the key people are Jews. And if you point these facts out, you know, you're demonized as some sort of crazy conspiracy theorist or an anti-Semite who just irrationally hates Jews. So it's very difficult to even bring up these topics without being accused of these things. And, you know, I frankly think it's rather childish. And, you know, this is something that needs to be discussed openly and honestly. And it's the one topic, one of the only topics, one of the most taboo topics that you're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. Marcus, do you want to chime in? Marcus has been researching this kind of thing for a long time. So he definitely, I'm sure, has a solid opinion on it.
Well, for those who are new to me, both my parents are Jewish. I denounced Judaism as soon as I left the house. I'm not a big fan of Jews at all. I don't like their arrogance. I don't like how we're told that we're the chosen people and all of it. At the same time, I think the Jews are not at the top. I think they're middle-level management people. Freemasonry is the same way. And if you listen to the great Alan Watt, he'll tell you that it doesn't matter if it's communism, socialism, this ism, that ism. You know, the people at the top, they don't care as long as you're working towards the great plan. And that's what is happening right now with the Great Reset. So I think it's everyone. I think it's the Jews. I think it's the Jesuits. I think it's the Black Pope. I think it's all of them, all working in tandem. They each one has a certain expertise. And John's right. The Jews are great when it comes to culture creation, Hollywood, government, banking. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole, like, this globalist push, you know, this destruction of nations, destruction of religion, destruction of the family. Now we're seeing, you know, outright assaults on the very concept of gender, you know, the promotion of transsexualism and you know, transitioning into a different gender. I mean, this is madness. And a lot of these things have been championed by these radical Jewish intellectuals. And I mean, frankly, you look into any of these topics, the normalization of homosexuality, the promotion of transgenderism, it's largely Jewish organizations behind it.
Like which ones, though? What would you mean? It's we're not talking about your average synagogue. So this is where who are we talking about?
Are we going to deny that the reality of, like, the organized Jewish community? When I say the Jews, I'm basically referring to the organized Jewish community. Groups like the ADL. I mean, there are literally, just in the United States, there's probably thousands of Jewish organizations. You know, some of the more high profile ones like the ADL, the American Jewish Congress. I mean, you know, you see these sorts of organizations in the headlines. You see a guy like Jonathan Greenblatt from the ADL, the CEO of the ADL. You see him on all the major news channels all the time. You know, did you guys follow that controversy with Whoopi Goldberg, where she was, you know, sort of not even questioning the Holocaust, but saying, you know, like basically like it wasn't a racial thing and it was man's inhumanity to man. And literally the very next, she not only got suspended for it, but the very next day prior to her getting suspended, they brought on Jonathan Greenblatt to set them straight and to, you know, explain, you know, how to frame and how to talk about the Holocaust from a Jewish perspective, which is the only one that's allowed to be discussed publicly.
Yeah, I don't like Wilkie.
I agree with you, John, that the ADL is heavy into plain old censorship. It doesn't matter if it's Jewish or they just are involved in anything that's censorship. I agree with that. 100%.
Yeah.
John, do you know about the story about story about David Cole and the ADL?
Yeah.
I mean, the latest about.
I know David Cole. He's a Jewish individual who, sort of got into revisionism and went over to Auschwitz. Gosh, when was that? In the 80s, I think, or early 90s.
Yeah, 90s.
And made a documentary. It's, you know, David Cole's visit to Auschwitz, I think is the name of it, or something like that anyways. You know, and he thoroughly exposed the fraudulent nature of the whole entire narrative surrounding Auschwitz, especially, excuse me. But, you know, the Holocaust more broadly, I guess, that, you know, Auschwitz is a key pillar of the official Holocaust narrative. And, I think he was harassed and, you know, sort of like went underground for years. I know I've seen him recently writing for Tacky Magazine, I think. I think he's a regular writer for them now. Yeah. He's interesting. He's got some interesting takes and he's a pretty solid writer. I don't always agree with him. And I don't even follow his work all that closely, honestly. But he is an interesting individual. Yeah.
He is really interesting, actually. He's really almost wacky, but he is very interesting.
Well, he did a video recently. Mm-hmm. That's what I was kind of referring to, where Abe Greenberg, I think his name was, he died in jail. Abe Greenberg made David Cole pay the ADL $25,000 to make the charges against him go away and promised to write a letter saying that everything he said in the video that he made wasn't true. And then this Abe person died in jail. And then he told the truth about what happened. And there's a video of Abe and his partner in crime just seething about David Cole and how he lied about. There was no lies. You saw it on videotape. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, I lost my entire Jewish family because of David Cole. My dad forwarded to me from my aunt, who's very Jewish. You know, every year she sends out this thing, never forget the Holocaust, right? So I get this thing, and it was carbon copied to my entire family, and I knew it. I saw she made that mistake, and my dad sent it to me. So I was just watching this David Cole video for the first time, and I said, hey, Dad, what do you think about this video? That's all I said. It went to like 30 members of my family. They haven't spoken to me since that video, and my dad like called me up and reamed me out on the phone. How fucking dare you send that to us?
Yeah, it's one of those subjects.
I'm not a fan of the Jews. It's obvious that it's a lie.
Yeah, I know exactly. That's the point. I mean, and this is something I've sort of focused on is like the psychological aspect of the Holocaust and the propaganda associated with it. It's extremely, extremely traumatizing and extremely emotional. And, you know, it that's the way it's been designed from the get-go. I mean, there were reports going back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, this fake atrocity propaganda, you know, talking about 6 million Jews being persecuted. First, it started out in Russia, then it was Poland, then it was Romania, you know, all these different European countries. So this idea, this narrative of persecution of Jews of 6 million, even that number is constantly invoked and has been over the decades.
Yeah.
You know, leading up to the Holocaust, and then of course it's become officially institutionalized in our history books and by our governments. And you know, in the aftermath of World War II, and it's based on total lies. And it's very obvious if you just do a little bit of research and investigation into it. And yeah, I mean, there's even you know Jewish people that have overcome this. This like MK Ultra like psyop on the whole world, like David Cole. There's another guy I actually interviewed recently, in early February. I interviewed this guy named Henry Herskovitz,
okay,
who I didn't really know much about. There was a court case involving his organization. He's like this anti-Zionist activist, and he's got this group up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they go out and they demonstrate in front of a synagogue in the area, and they got signs like, you know, end the wars in the Middle East and stuff like that. So, I mean, some of them are pretty provocative, and they even like talk about the Holocaust, like no more Holocaust propaganda, no more Holocaust movies and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting, but you know, they do it very, you know, it's everything they're doing is legal. They're like standing on a sidewalk, and there was this huge court case. Two members of the synagogue sued his organization and sued him. Mm-hmm. In federal court, and it's been this big ordeal, and they've been soundly rejected by the judges that this case has appeared in front of. I mean, they've appealed it. You know, it's still going. It's still ongoing, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't talked to him since this podcast I did with them, but it's a pretty interesting story, and it's another example of a Jewish man who, you know, has seen through this propaganda and recognizes it, and is out there exposing it and doing what he can to wait, you know, sort of quote unquote wake people up, which is I'm kind of at the point now where that seems to be a lost cause. I mean, if people can't see what's going on now,
yeah,
in the wake of COVID and, you know, with everything, it's like they're never going to get it.
Well, and
go ahead.
My big thing about the Holocaust, about who's in control, who's running things, the ADL, is I hate censorship. That's my biggest bugaboo about this whole thing. Because I think that if we can establish something, if we can establish codified censorship in one area of society, whatever it might be, however distasteful it might be, then it's just going to lead to duplication of this censorship somewhere else. And we're already seeing it, of course, with talking about vaccines, vaccine safety or lack thereof. And we're already seeing how these things can just roll from one established lie into another. And they just keep going and building, and they build upon each other, and they layer themselves, and it's layer upon layer. And we know, as 9/11 researchers, all of us, that was definitely a big lie. We were able to use the internet and research, thanks to the internet, to help deconstruct it in a way we never have been able to before, anything before that. And now, in real time, all three of us are looking into the COVID's lie, and we knew it was a lie the second they opened their mouths, almost 2 years ago to the day tomorrow. And we're all yelling at the top of our lungs, this is a lie, in real time. And we're still losing that propaganda war as researchers, because we don't have trillions of dollars behind our story. And so that's why I think that even though a lot of the stuff you talk about, John, is almost officially illegal all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's like a honeypot designed to trap us. And we know that the system has almost institutionalized it. So if you open your mouths, you're going to be sued. You're going to go to jail. You're going to be harassed, or at least the thought of that is out there enough to scare people. So that's the main reason why I think what you say is distasteful. It is to almost everyone, that comes against you, with a little bit of weight. Needs to be exposed, because it's so important.
I don't want to see, this is the thing though. It's like, what am I saying that's distasteful? I'm basically, my most of the work that I've done on the website over the years, and my old blog that has a lot more material, has been totally deleted by Blogger. That happened a few years ago. A lot of the podcasts that I a lot of my older podcasts got deleted as well. I had a whole entire archive that just got, you know, wiped out overnight, basically. And you know, this happened years ago. So I mean, I've been getting shut down and censored for for a very long time. So it's nothing new. But what kills me is that, you know, we're supposed to live in this free country, America, you know, freedom of speech, First Amendment, all of that. And yet this is like the one topic you can't talk about. You can't openly talk about the reality of Jewish power and influence, when most of my work And most of the research I've done, I've literally been reading Jewish news outlets and reading, you know, press releases from the ADL or from the American Jewish Congress or from, you know, individual Jewish politicians or Jewish bureaucrats running the federal government, you know? So it's like, talk about Orwellian and just total tyranny is like, you can't even quote these people who openly say these things without being called, you know, an anti-Semite.
But it almost seems like a trap that it's put out there for you and for people doing the research. So they taunt you with they probably put out the stories and they're the ones that are there waiting for you to speak them out loud, and they're there to trap you. That's why it's just such a dangerous area, because they are literally creating this whole, I think it's a trap. That's always how I thought it's been laid out, and I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way.
I don't understand your logic. I mean, a trap.
Well, they're putting out the stories in your face, and then they create the organizations that attack anyone that literally just reads the stories.
But most people aren't following Jewish news outlets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not. This is a very niche, you know, market. I mean, these are like the Jewish Telegraph Agency, the Jewish Daily Forward. These are not main. I mean, you know, I guess you could consider it like mainstream media. But you know, these are publications specifically for the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're written for Jews by Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a Jewish perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these sorts of ideas aren't, you know, in the mainstream really, you know, at least like on CNN and in Fox News. And, you know, and that's the thing, more and more people are getting their news from Facebook and like social media outlets, you know, it's not even,
Facebook doesn't write the news. They just pull it into their platform so they can mine it. And that's an ongoing thing where some of the news outlets say, well, you guys should pay us to drag it into your sandbox, because the only reason they drag it into their sandbox is so they can track it and see what's popping, and then they can promote it. And people can never leave the sandbox, or they think Facebook is the internet. They don't even know that there are other websites that's the whole the purpose of Facebook is they can keep people trapped in their world, and then they can data mine the hell out of it and figure out what people are reading and then promote it and create waves of culture and whatnot. Marcus,
just real quick, by the way, Facebook, of course, you know, is owned by a Jew, as are a lot of these big social media platforms. Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook.
Well, I don't think he owns it. I think BlackRock and the usual suspect.
He's like the president, right? I mean,
official title. Yeah, he's the face of it. He's the face of Facebook, but I don't think Jeff Bezos owns Amazon either. So,
well, you know what? Let me just say one other thing real quick, but before Marcus jumps in, and this is something I've argued for a very long time. I don't think you can properly understand the world, you know, how the world actually works without understanding the Jewish question.
Mm-hmm.
Without understanding the role that Jews play in society, both contemporarily and historically. And I mean, you know, again, my big wake up call was 9/11. I mean, I was already very skeptical of the media and the government, you know, even before I really started researching 9/11. But, you know, once I sort of took that red pill and realized that the official narrative of even that event, that totally game changing, very, very traumatic, you know, monumental event, you know, once I realized that that was all a lie, you know, it led to so many other avenues of research. But, you know, again, if you look at 9/11, the key people involved, the key people that benefited, the agenda it served is an explicitly Jewish Zionist agenda. And that to me seems very clear and very obvious at this point. And, you know, you can't understand our American foreign policy without at least, you know, properly. You might, you know, have some ideas, but you won't have a proper, real understanding of what motivates American foreign policy and what got us into all these conflicts in the Middle East and who was really behind 9/11 without understanding the Jewish angle to everything.
Mm-hmm. Or the Zionist angle. Or, Marcus, do you want to speak to what I was trying to get at earlier with the idea that...
Yeah, I agree. It is a trap. They tell you how...
They run the place?
No, I had two simultaneous thoughts. I'm trying to figure out which way to go first.
Okay.
Right. They tell you how bad Jews are.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you dare speak up against it, it's actually illegal in Europe to say anything about it. It's brilliant. And that's really the big point we're missing.
What do you mean that they tell you how bad Jews are? Like, who's saying Jews are bad? Like, quote unquote, anti-Semites, like exposing Jews? Or what do you mean
by that?
They're
all in it. They're in the same. That's what I'm saying. That's what Alan Watt always told us. You know, it doesn't matter what group says what, as long as it's the dialectic that leads to the same thing.
Hmm.
And in this case, it leads to you can't talk bad about the Jews. It doesn't matter if it's Ku Klux Klan. It doesn't matter if it's this, if it's you, if it's controlled opposite. It doesn't matter. It all leads to the same thing. And really the bigger problem here is we're not doing a good job of the marketing.
That I agree with. And that's something I'm very bad at. I've always been bad at it. You know, Go ahead. I want to hear you.
If you want a one word fix for the marketing problem, it's repetition.
Always been the way. We've seen that more with the COVID thing than in any time in history. They are just drumming in certain lines into your subconscious that you almost can't get them out.
Safe and effective.
Yes, that's definitely one.
Oh no, you're right. These people that control the media, they have this down to a science.
Yes,
and they've been doctor if blank is good for you.
Mm-hmm, that's a good one.
That's every commercial for drugs. That's appeal to authority. I've identified 29 triggers. I've gone over this in the past that they use to do the marketing on us. So what we should do is just flip the script and just steal that and do it against them. So if you're going to say Jews are bad, right. If you're going to say Jews are bad, that's only one fraction of the equation. You need to know about the other 28 triggers that, you know, that motivate human beings to listen to your message. And I think that's the problem.
Well, the thing is I'm not even really saying that Jews are bad. I'm saying that we should be openly talking about the reality of Jewish power and influence and where it leads, what this agenda is all about. You know? And I mean I think their power and influence has prevented this. It's prevented an open and honest discussion about this topic and many other topics for that matter. So that to me really is the problem. And, you know, it's something, you know, you try to do it. You try to start your own blog, your own website, your own podcast program and whatnot. And it's challenging. You know, it's at least it has been in my experience. I mean, especially when you're getting censored and shut down and, you know, it makes it very difficult for anybody to, even if people do support your work and, you know, you can't even accept any donations from anybody. So how are you going to, you know, live
your
life? How
are you going to eat?
And, exactly. How are you going to make a living? So it's. You know, it's not easy. But that being said, there has been a lot of progress. I mean, the alternative, like independent media, has really flourished over the course of the past 10 years or so. I mean, there's a ton of programs out there now that are talking about some of these controversial topics that are doing very well and they're very successful, and that's awesome. I think that's a great thing. That's a huge step in the right direction. But we certainly have, you know, a long way to go. One thing though that is pretty clear is there aren't many people that expose like the media fakery angle to all of this, which to me is probably one of the most important aspects to understand next to the Jewish question, because the media really is. I mean, Donald Trump had that great saying, "The media is the enemy of the people," and that's so true. And that's so powerful, and it resonated so deeply with so many people because it's so obvious, but nobody's ever, like, you know, explained it that way or publicly said it in such a powerful way, you know, at least at a high level like this. But I mean, really, that is the problem. I mean, you look at CNN, you go on any of these mainstream sites, and you are just inundated with psychological warfare, with fake, like genuinely, truly fake news or news that you have no way of actually verifying ever. I mean, look at the situation with Ukraine. How do we know any of this is true? Yeah. You know, they're saying every other day, it's like, you know, there's reports about Russia bombing, you know, a hospital, Russia bombs a family. And I just interviewed a guy named Mike King the other day on my podcast, and he wrote an article talking about this photo that was just in the New York Times. It was supposed to be a family of four. Let me see if I can find it really quick, actually. Yeah,
I'm pulling it up on your screen as you're talking.
Did you see that? Yeah, did you see that photo?
No. I'm almost trying to ignore this whole Ukrainian thing because I'm just so overwhelmed with information. You know, I'm in Canada, so we have our own problems here, and all of us. I don't know where you are, John, in the U.S., but where I am, it's still official that you have to wear a mask. So, like, we're way behind the curve here when it's trying to crawl out of this hole. Like, these are the kind of things that they just throw our way or my way, where that occupy you. Because where are you in the U.S. noticed, by the way, now? I know you moved around a bit.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'd rather really not talk about that. To be honest, just because I have kind of bounced around. But
well, can you give us are you in an open or a closed state? That's merely what I was trying to get at.
Red or blue?
It's a blue state. But look, I haven't worn a mask for a very long time, even when there was like these quote unquote mandates. I tried to be very sneaky about it, or in some cases I would just outright say, look, I can't wear a mask, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I did have to wear it in certain occasions. I recently, it was a couple months ago, but I had to take a flight, and mm-hmm. you have to wear the mask,
right,
through security. But you know, I wore it through security. I took it off. I walked around the whole airport. Nobody said anything to me. I was the only one in the entire airport that didn't have a mask on.
Yeah. Oh, you can do it if you want. If you're not afraid of any kind of conflict, and half the time or most of the time you are not going to get into a conflict, especially at this late stage in the game where the messages are so mixed. I'm just saying, I was only asking, so I wanted to know, because if you're in California, I could realize that you guys are more like on Terrible or New York State. But if you're in Florida or Texas, you probably have a different perspective on things. That was the only reason I wanted to know sort of where you were. But where I am in Ontario, we're at ground zero of this mess, and they're so slow to get out of it that's what really bogs me down on a daily basis. So I almost don't care about Ukraine. I mean, I just know that the official story and the way everyone's going is definitely got to be wrong. And I just flip everything. So if everyone says hate Russia, then I think, okay, then I think I should like Russia. that's really been my policy for a long time. And I'm sure, you're the same way. So
yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at it objectively, I mean, it's obviously a huge subject. It's very complex. There's a lot of historical angles that most people have no idea. Most people in America couldn't even find Ukraine on a map. Let's be serious. They probably couldn't even find Russia on a map. I mean, most people are so ignorant when it comes to geography and history and geopolitics.
Yeah.
There's many angles, you know, to sort of understand this conflict. But really the main thing that I'm looking at is Russia and China, you know, they are sick and tired of this, you know, America-led world order that has just been a total disaster for the world for so long. You know, I think really that's the key takeaway is, you know, they recognize how dangerous America is and how unstable this whole world order has been. And, you know, they're sick and tired of it. And they want to sort of create something new, like a new world order, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I will tell you very straightforwardly that the US-led world order is a total disaster for everybody involved, especially the American people. Not to mention the billions of people that have been murdered all around the world as a result of our foreign policy and military policy. It's outrageous. And you look at just the way, I mean, one key indicator is just look at the way American politicians and, you know, these big media pundits are reacting to the situation. They are just so over the top and hysterical and bloodthirsty and just a disgrace. That, you know, it's really sickening that anybody would take any of these people seriously.
And then you
look at Putin, you look at, you know, the Russian leadership and the way they're handling the media, the way they're explaining their perspective. They're very calm and rational and intelligent.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least Putin talks like he's educated, where these other guys are just giving out these. Did I read Putin's first speech that he gave? And even if he didn't write it, it just portrays him as someone who's at least got a brain in his head, as opposed to the demented one in chief and then his sidekick, the cackling hyena. They just are an embarrassment.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And it's, you know, this is a long time coming. It's about damn time that somebody stood up to America and just the West in general. I mean, look at, you know, in Canada where you're, I mean, it is just total tyranny with this, the trucker situation and, you know, with everything. It's long past time that somebody finally stood up and said, you know what? We're not going along with this anymore. And
America has been taken over a long time ago, whether it's by the Knights of Malta or the Sabbatean Franks, whoever it is. It's a very evil agenda. It's an evil force. And Americans never really wanted to be in the worldwide conflict from the last 100 years. And I think the average American probably still doesn't want to get involved in any other place other than America. And the best thing America could do is just stop all their worldwide trade and look inward and start rebuilding industries, including blue collar stuff, you know, where people dig stuff and build stuff, and just say to hell with it and shut them and disband the military completely and make it, turn it back to a voluntary force. Just say that's enough. That's enough of doing what they're doing, and they could be energy independent. And Canada's the same way too. We could easily create one super continental country if we just shut the borders and got rid of the European influence that's basically looting the countries, both of them, and in favor of
European interests.
I still think the British European families still run the world, my friend. I still believe that. They still have most of the money.
Is that a pun intended right there?
I don't know, was it?
You said my friend.
No, my John friend, right. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I still think there's tons of...
Let me help you out a little, Tim, on that one.
Go ahead.
You type in right now, if you do a search for the Rothschilds coat of arms...
Right.
And then in a new tab, do the Russia coat of arms. It's the exact same emblem.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
This
whole thing that Russia's different than the rest is, I'm sorry, I disagree with that completely. They're all in it together.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this globalist network is obviously all over the world.
For sure.
But Russia... I mean, you know, I've never been to Russia. I don't know anybody in Russia, but from what I can tell, they seem to be a much different type system than what we have here. And Putin, when Putin first came into office, he inherited a total mess. The country had been totally looted. And this is something that Mike King and I kind of talked about in the podcast the other day. The country had been totally looted by these Jews, and they were, I mean, you know, look into it. I mean, almost all of them were Jews. And even the people that facilitated this theft of the country were Jews from America and from the Western world. He came in and, you know, this is post Soviet Union, after the fall of the Soviet Union, they did this, privatization scheme. They called it shock therapy, where they were, you know, basically selling off all of these state-run companies and you know, these big assets, and it was just a totally corrupt process, run and organized basically by a clique of Jews in Russia and on the international level. So when he came into office, he inherited a total mess, and he's really straightened the country out, at least much more than it was when he came into office. That's for sure. And, you know, again, just the way they operate, the way they speak to their people, the way they deal with the media, it's not even comparable to anything that we see in the Western world. There, I don't see any like genuine leader anywhere in America. Even some of these like renegade Republican, like America First type people, we'll still go to the, you know, we'll still bow the knee and go to the Holocaust Museum and apologize for, you know, saying things, you know, maybe a little bit politically incorrect. So, I mean, I don't see anybody operating, you know, independently. Trump, I think you could make a case back when he first came on the political scene, but that quickly got corralled and sort of subverted.
Yeah. Marcus, I've brought the Russian and the Rothschild's coat of arms up, and you're right. There's not one difference. How is that possible? Where did you find this one? This is I can't spot one difference. It's almost like it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that stunning? John, did you see that?
Yeah, I'm looking at him. I'm seeing, like, when I type in Rothschild coat of arms, there's multiple.
No, look on his screen. Look on Tim's screen.
I don't know if he's on Skype. I don't know if you can see my screen. Okay.
Yeah. If you select the red one with the gold.
Yeah.
It's exact same emblem.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I mean, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, there's...
It's stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as... Like, I agree with you, John. I like all the things that Putin says. But on the other hand... He is supposedly...
You like everything Trump says too, right?
I liked a lot of it. Not all of it. At Operation Warp Speed, he lost right. me too. But, you know, Putin is injecting his people, and you need to get on the Moscow subway. They use facial recognition to take money out of your bank account to pay for your fare. So, like, as much as he seems like he is the foil in this play, he's also a young globalist.
Again, it's the dialectic, Tim.
Right. Yeah.
It's a everyone's leading to the same thing, the Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution. It doesn't matter whether they speak Russian or Greek or whatever. It doesn't matter.
I know. And he looks like they've definitely demonized Putin. He definitely looks like the bad guy. But on the other hand, he's not really, and he seems like he's saying some of the right things. But he's completely plugged into the globalist network. Same with China. China is also pushing back, apparently, against the debauchery of the West. And they're trying to allegedly keep some of the globalists out. Apparently, the history of China that this latest leader kind of kicked out the Gang of Four that was really going hardcore globalist, where the China would make all the goods and they wouldn't be able to afford any of them. And they were just going to be the engine or the production for the West, and he kind of apparently is kicking back against that, and he kicked out Soros out of China, that kind of thing. But on the other hand, he's fully integrated into the world globalist network, so it's tricky. Yeah, I wish it was an easy one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, they do have, you know, Putin will go speak at the World Economic Forum, the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, he'll go speak at the World Economic Forum, so... Yeah, I know. It is concerning. You know, and it's hard to tell. I mean, I'm mostly concerned about what's going on in my country, in America, and in you know, the area that I live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a mess. This whole country is a total mess. We're clearly on the decline. I mean, you know, there's just unlimited numbers of immigrants and quote-unquote refugees entering the country every single day. The federal government is literally putting them on planes and shipping them all across the country and paying for their housing and putting them in hotels. And it's just outrageous what is going on.
Well, it's a total replacement happening everywhere. There's going to be plane loads of Ukrainians coming over any day now. I know they're trying to jam them into Poland right now. And you had the cackling witch in Poland today. Apparently I saw a bit of that. Standing beside the Polish president, and I think they're planning on staging a lot of the Ukrainians in Poland, but you know they're going to be carrying on further west. So you can see what's happening. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, well, there was I did see some pushback because they didn't want white refugees. You know, they only take the brown ones from the Middle East. So that seems to be another angle with this whole refugee situation. But yeah, it's a mess anywhere you look in Europe and America. The only serious countries that I see on the world stage are Russia and China. And I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they're, you know, even against this whole global order. They seem to be working with it and trying to do what they can to benefit their own countries. But at the end of the day, they're much more serious players and much more responsible leaders than anything I see in the West.
Yeah, we have jokers in the West. We have a clown in Britain. We have an old senile guy in the United States. We have a drama teacher in Canada. We have every country.
We have a Jewish actor in Ukraine. Right. Literally, an actor that played the role of a president in a TV show just before he became president. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know that. I know. And just like the United States had a one of the most successful reality TV stars, Donald Trump.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, Tim, do you remember who won the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I saw the tweet, I think, of the Rams, the exact same color of the Ukrainian.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there was an image that was circulating on Twitter, and apparently a Snoop Dogg was wearing the same type of Illuminati color outfit. Yeah, so the point is it's scripted.
It's just all a plan.
It's all a play. It's all stagecraft, mind control. They're all in it together, and they really want you to think they're enemies because that's how they can get people to move the whole narrative forward, because you pick a side and then you go with your team right to the end, and you end up, like Marcus said, right where they want you. They want to take over probably Western Ukraine and get rid of all the farmers and bring in corporate farms, because it is a fertile area. There's only so many places in the world that you can easily grow. And I'm sure that Ukraine is definitely targeted for that reason. They want to control the food, bring in their corporate farms, and get rid of the western part of the Ukraine farmers. So move them out. That's you can just see all these little subplots that are being achieved by this war movie. Wag the Dog. It's Wag the Dog on steroids.
Yeah. You know, I want to kind of change the subject. I'm just curious. Did you guys see that recently released video of so apparently it was somebody took a video on 9/11 and it just came out just like right when this invasion started in Ukraine. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fake.
Did you see that? Fake. Yeah, of course it's fake. Yeah. It's I don't know where they're at. They look like they're at one of like the piers.
No, they're at Battery Park.
Oh, is it Battery Park? Okay, yeah. I didn't even watch the whole thing.
Well, there was another one about a year. Sorry to interrupt. There was another one about a year ago where they just showed the explosion. And Marcus, did you think that was real? Or what was your take on that? I can't remember now.
No, I have got two new videos that I just got in the last month that show no explosion, that there were no planes from different angles.
Yeah, the one I'm talking about was from probably 3 or 4 months ago. They said, oh, it was just recently released. Now, I don't believe necessarily if it was real, but it just showed the explosion without any plane hitting it. Now,
when I first started in life, I was a graphic designer. It is very, very hard to take, especially in 2001, to take some image out of a moving video. Way easier to put it in, way easier.
Okay, but
so people are like, oh, so they just photoshopped that the plane out is what you're showing us, right?
Oh, I see.
Like, no, that's hard.
But it's easier not to have it in the first place and then put it in later. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, there definitely was, in my opinion, an explosion in the side of the building for anyone to see. And
there are 4 explosions and they went out in the center of the building. So what you saw and what John's talking about, that video, it shows the plane going into this kind of the side of the building. That's the official narrative. Uh-huh. And you only see 2 explosions.
Right.
But in the real videos that I've seen, they all have the same pattern. There are 4 symmetrical explosions, one on either side of all 4 sides of the building.
Oh, okay.
Marcus, you have a YouTube channel, or where do you post your videos at and your content at?
EscapeTheNewNormal.com.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check out your site. I know I've heard you on here with Ab before, but I'm sorry, I don't really follow your work all that closely. EscapeTheNewNormal.
That's okay. .com.
Well, I mean, I'm saying that because I know I have seen some of your videos on 9/11, and it's excellent.
Thank you.
And your take on it all with the media fakery angle is very very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marcus has been talking about it for, as he would say, donkey's ages. He goes right back
donkey's years.
I think he really kept the same narrative since what, 2008. Is that maybe when
I was on the same forum that Simon Schack was on. It was 911movement.org before they deleted it.
Mm-hmm. But what year was that?
2006, maybe.
Right. So you really haven't changed your position for a long time. It's pretty much been you made your position and nothing has changed really.
Did you recognize the fraudulent media coverage and like the video fakery angle from the beginning, or did you kind of question the narrative at first and then kind of started analyzing the actual video footage?
When the second plane hit, I thought it was, I'm like, that has to be remote controlled, because I know I'm into airplanes. There's no way even the most skilled pilot can go 800 feet above ground, 550 miles an hour. That's impossible too. And hit towers. That's impossible. They tried to do it in flight simulators and they couldn't do it. They had professional pilots try to do it in a flight simulator and they could never hit it. So my first thought was it was remote controlled. Then when they said 45 minutes later it was Osama bin Laden, I said, no, that there's a big problem with this story.
Yeah, okay, so good. You saw it right away pretty much, or were questioning at least right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus I listened to Alex Jones and Bill Cooper and they were always talking about that was going to happen.
Yeah, you were preconditioned. Yeah, you were way ahead of everyone else back in the day because you were into this kind of thing. And those guys preconditioned the story for a long time. So when it happened, it was probably in your mind that, yeah, I was told this was going to happen. I figured, yeah, they all said it would happen. And here we are, and they're doing a live broadcast.
They didn't say how it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Cooper did say that they were going to blame Osama bin Laden. And then 45 minutes in, I chuckled. I was at Ty, my oldest son, was in my lap. He was not even 5 months old. And I went outside. It was like you went outside. I lived at the time in Westchester, Pennsylvania. It was a beautiful late summer day, like a gorgeous. And you wouldn't have a clue that the world was coming to an end. It just looked like a normal day.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap, they just... This Bill Cooper talked about, but he didn't say how, but they would finger Osama bin Laden 45 minutes in on CNBC. Some military guy comes on and says, we know who did it, Osama bin Laden. Like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. This attack has all the hallmarks of an Osama bin Laden al-Qaeda attack. They're saying like 30 minutes afterwards. Right, yeah, right. The whole thing was so scripted.
And all you had was Bill Cooper and Alex Jones. And, even to this day, I still like listening to Bill Cooper, even if he was controlled opposition and he was in on it. He's got that kind of really convincing delivery that nobody else has had since he was taken off the stage, and he was removed from the stage 3 months after 9/11 or 2 months later. Disappeared off the stage.
I don't think I've ever listened to any of his broadcasts.
You really should. You got to listen to his 9/11 show because he was on the air on 9/11 narrating the damn thing.
The day that it happened. Wow.
Yeah, you really got it. Sometimes it's fun to go back and listen to people talk 20, 30 years ago and hear what they were saying before it happened, because it's really either they're prophets or they're given the script. And I don't believe in prophecy, so I just believe they're leaking enough of the script to condition you to accept it when it happens.
Yeah, interesting. I'm going to have to do that one of these days.
Yeah, it's actually fun, I think.
I'm sure it would be very, very interesting. One thing that's always frustrated me, I mean, Ab, once I kind of started researching 9/11, I mean, my first thing, I actually found a 9/11 truth group.
Yeah, I know. That was really good of you.
Yeah, yeah, and they were like probably the most organized and dedicated 9/11 truth group in the whole country. You know, and they're still, I know they're still active. I don't think that they've been able to actually hold like their monthly meeting for a while, you know, with COVID and everything, but right. for a very long time. I mean, when I first discovered the group, they were doing a monthly meetup at a community center in San Diego, California, and they had all sorts of great speakers come in. They had Barbara Honegger, Chris Bolin, the first one that I went to was actually Dylan Avery. Mm-hmm. He gave a presentation and we watched 9/11 Loose Change, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a lot of these people really don't even have the full story. They you know, and that's what I was going to say. It's yeah. very frustrating how this angle of 9/11, which again is one of the most important for actually understanding what happened that day, is just totally dismissed and ridiculed in many cases, and violently so. You know, people get very upset when you talk about media fakery and quote unquote no planes. You know, I don't even like that term. I don't think it's a very, I mean, I guess it is accurate to a certain extent, but it's one of those like, just like very alienating and very triggering for people, you know, this idea of no planes. Oh, well, we saw the planes. We saw the media coverage of it.
And if you're really a true truth pursuer, why do you care where you end up? I don't care where I end up. Like if you're right about the Jews, then I'm okay with that, but I just don't want to get caught in a trap that's being laid out for me. That's all. And sometimes that's my main argument against what's obvious. Even if you're right. So if that's where it leads to, I'm okay with it. I don't have any real prejudice as to where the truth lies. If viruses were real and someone could really convince me, why would it bother me if that's real and not the opposite? I don't see why anyone's violently against something. I'll hash it out, but it doesn't make sense other than the fact that someone's trying to protect a lie if someone is exactly. violently opposed to something. And
it was supposed to be that, like, the truth movement, you know, wouldn't you want to investigate all mm-hmm. angles to a particular topic to come to the truth?
Yeah, and when someone tells me I can't talk about something, that really disturbs me. If they say I can't talk to somebody or about something, then that's a real red flag that anyone should be triggered by if you're looking for truth.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, and as soon as I saw 9/11 missing links, which was, gosh, pretty quickly after I really, you know, kind of, well, after I went to this 9/11 truth meeting,
yeah,
it was probably only, you know, maybe 6 months after that or so that I came across 9/11 missing links. I was immediately convinced. I saw that documentary and I was like, holy, I watched it a few times. You know,
was that Sophia Smallstorm's video?
Or no, I'm sorry, not missing links. I meant September Clues.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I meant September Clues. 9/11 missing links was another documentary that strictly focused on the Israeli and Jewish connections
right.
to 9/11. Sophia Smallstorm did a documentary called
9/11 Mysteries or something.
Yes, I think it was 9/11 Mysteries. Yeah.
And I can't even remember what was in it, but I did like it. She had a good delivery and whatnot. But again, I'm not married to any particular person or any particular theory. I just want what makes the most sense. And when someone tells you you can't, and they're in a truth group that you can't consider the no planes because it ruins the whole movement. Well, ruins what movement? What are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to achieve fame by running this movement? What does it matter? If you can't convince most people of your ideas, and it doesn't even matter what this truth group thinks. It has to be.
I know it's
ridiculous.
It's a very childish, like just immature, stupid way of looking at the situation.
Or they're gatekeepers. And that's right, I'm way more convinced that if you're really so violently against a particular view, then you're a gatekeeper and obviously you're being told. It's just there's no other reason for it.
Yeah.
And we got gatekeepers all around us everywhere, all the time. We have to be totally on guard. Even in this coronavirus thing, it's worse than ever. so many people hiding truths and half truths, and they're not helping.
Yeah, I think like one of the telltale signs for me is if somebody has an open mind, if they can like hear a perspective out and objectively entertain it, not necessarily agree with it, but at least consider it, consider the, you know, the information somebody's presenting. That's one thing. If you're like immediately opposed to it, you won't have anything to do with it. You know, you start engaging in ad hominems and stuff like that. That is a huge red flag. And that's what you see more often than not, you know, and in the alternative media is people just refusing to even consider some of these more, I guess, controversial topics like, you know, no planes on 9/11 or video fakery on 9/11 or whatever the topic is. You know, that's not the sign of somebody that's genuinely interested in pursuing the truth and getting to the bottom of things and really figuring out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
That's the sign of somebody who's invested in their own narrative, whether it's because they're too arrogant to admit they're wrong or whatever, or maybe they're a bad actor, as you suggested. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. So, you know, who knows? It's just, I don't really like speculating on who, you know, who's an agent or who's, you know, you know, disinformation or who's, you know, whatever. I just judge people on how they pursue the truth, how they handle themselves. And it's very telling, you know, cause, you know, this is a topic like that's been going on for a very long time. And, you know, I've been in debates with people about it, and it's so few people can even like objectively deal with the ideas that you're putting forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. It's look, analyze the media coverage of 9/11, analyze the videos that were put out depicting an airplane crashing into the buildings. And you're telling me that this is real?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell. You know, that's the simplest way to look at the situation. That's what September Clues does. They're looking at the media coverage and analyzing it objectively. And there's all sorts of problems with the imagery associated with 9/11. And that's very obvious if you just do, you know, a basic investigation into the topic.
Yeah.
John, what about just ignoring those people?
Oh, I mean, I do. You know, I'm not like worried about it or anything. I'm just saying like that's what I've noticed over the years, you know, being involved in like the 9/11 truth movement in general is the people that sort of react this way. It's like, okay, this says a lot about you, and I want nothing to do with it.
Is there anyone in that 9/11 truth movement that agrees with you and your conclusions?
Oh, you know,
even one person that's
I wouldn't say the people in the 9/11 truth group that I was mentioning in San Diego, they all pretty much had a, you know, an open mind more or less.
Mm.
I was just saying like in general, like the people that you come across on the internet, the people you hear talking about 9/11 and presenting information about it and stuff. The truth group itself was pretty open minded on a lot of topics, you know, everybody didn't agree with, you know, they all didn't have like one specific, you know, angle to 9/11 that they all were in agreement on. Everybody understood that the official narrative was false, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even like when I first got started with the group, there was huge pushback on even discussing the Jewish angle and the Israeli angle to 9/11. And I brought that up almost, you know, right away.
Sure, you would have been the life of the party there.
Well, in my main point, like when I first brought it up, I'm like, look, you know, here's like police records of, you know, law enforcement arresting some of these people that were clearly had something to do or clearly knew what was going on or had, you know, inside knowledge. You know, why aren't we highlighting this? Why aren't we talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
And there was pushback, but they've really come a long way in that regard. They had Christopher Bolin, who's written a number of books on 9/11 and the neocon, you know, Zionist angle to it.
Yeah.
So they've proven themselves to have an open mind and on all these angles of 9/11. So
John, circling back
it's
to
it's not very common though. Yeah.
I know you're up against your 1 hour mark and things are getting late here too. But getting back to COVIDs for a minute, and I ask most people that I run into, even to this day, this question: do you know anyone that was or is vaccine damaged or was killed by COVID's vaccine in your circles, in your verifiable circles? No,
No, I don't. Nope. I've just seen reports online. I do know, basically somebody that I know, his wife was one of, she took the vaccine like when it first came out. This would have been, I want to say like early 2021.
Yeah, I think started in sort of January 2021.
Yeah. And she was a healthcare worker, like, you know, working at a hospital. Yeah. And she apparently got extremely, extremely sick. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know this woman, but I do know that she did get extremely sick, which is, it seems pretty common, you know, with a lot, you know, you hear that from a lot of people. You know, they take the vaccine and they're sick for a day or two. You know, the vaccine gets them sick, not, you know, they don't actually get COVID. They actually get sick from the vaccine. Go figure that. You'd think you'd start, you know, asking questions after something like that happened to you. But no, I don't know anybody that's been vaccine damaged. I do know people that have taken it and don't seem to have any reactions.
The only official medicine that I can think of right off the top of my head that people would actually accept to make them sick is something like chemotherapy. Because you're told ahead, this is going to make your hair fall out. This is going to make you have all kinds of bad effects. But for the most part, if I told you, John, here's an aspirin for your headache, you would never think that after taking the aspirin that that was what made you feel worse or more sick or maybe an upset stomach. Or you'd never think that. It's just sort of a cognitive dissonance most people have in their mind that medicine is actually poison and it's meant to mask and or jolt your body into changing its reaction or its chemistry to maybe alleviate some kind of symptom.
Boy, that was very, very well said. You're so spot on with that.
Thank you. I just thought of it now.
No, so, that's good. That was very genius. Well said. I totally agree.
I'll clip it for a video. But
you should. No, yeah, no, that was
you should.
That
was brilliant. But it is such cognitive dissonance because nobody wants to even contemplate the idea that this vaccine could kill them. And here we have this Pfizer, I don't know if it's real or not, but the 1400 effects of the vaccine and everything, including death, is listed in there of the things it can do to you. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Do you, let me ask you, do you know anybody that's actually been seriously damaged or injured or dead or died from the vaccine?
The only one I had an eyewitness account of who told me right to my face is my dentist. And he started having seizures. He lost his license because once you go in the hospital and have seizures, they take your license away. And the guy has a Tesla and a Lamborghini. He's sort of a car guy. And now his dad has to drive him to work. It's just terrible. And so he's the only one. And he wasn't, I don't think he really knew right away that that's what caused it. And when I put the idea in his mind, it really started to link up in his brain that, yeah, this is probably what it was.
Right.
You know, because he's a bit of a drinker or any party or that kind of thing. He's a really cool dentist, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, there's a channel on Telegram that I follow called COVID Vaccine Injuries.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, and they just like find stories that people are publicly posting on Facebook and, you know, Instagram and TikTok, where they're recounting their experiences after taking the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there are a lot of people being injured and seriously damaged with the vaccine. Yeah.
I just read someone I went to high school with. I just heard on a podcast I was listening to that he died, and I looked it up, and you know, my wife says, oh, it could be fake. I said, well, yeah, it could be fake, but it says here he died of a heart attack. He's only in his 50s. He didn't look... You don't know what goes on in anyone's life. He could have been a cocaine addict, for all I know, and had a heart attack. But for the most part, he seemed like a clean-cut guy. So there's someone in their 50s, and they won't say... They're really vague about why he died. And then another friend of mine just went to a funeral where somebody who knew was given 3 weeks to live after they found his liver wasn't working at all. So, and he had the injections, and you know, these are all end vascular ischemias, which is a fancy way of saying blood clots. So if you have a blood clot to an organ, it just basically dies. That includes your heart, your brain, your pancreas, your liver. You know, these are all vaccine damages that most people can't believe because they'll look for anything else. You know, this guy drank, but he had absolutely no symptoms up until recently after the injection of liver failure. You know, lots of people drink, but they don't have liver failure and then get 3 weeks to live. That just doesn't really happen as a rule. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's pretty, amazing. It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty sad. And it's led me to, start researching more and trying to understand the history of vaccines.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
I read a book called Dissolving Illusions.
Yep.
Which is Suzanne
Humphreys. Yeah.
Yeah. I interviewed the co-author Roman Bistrianic.
Oh, good.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. And it's
a link to that.
You can find it right on my website. I can drop it here in Skype if you're interested.
No, I'm on your website now. You can't see, but I'm on your website, so I'll grab the link. Your website's slower than mine, by the way. It's the load pages.
Really?
Yeah, mine is slow too. It's on shared hosting. I don't know if that's the reason, but
seems to load pretty quick for me.
Okay.
Most of the time, anyways. I mean. But anyways, this book is absolutely fascinating if anybody's interested in this topic.
Oh, everyone should be.
I know. It demonstrates quite conclusively that this idea that vaccines, you know, like saved humanity from all these endemic diseases is just totally fake.
It is, yeah.
It's not, it's not based in any sort of reality. It's just basically, you know, corporate big pharma propaganda
based on deception.
In fact, dangerous vaccines have proven to be extremely dangerous historically, mm-hmm. have led to outbreaks and have led to very serious negative.
I don't think they lead to outbreaks. Problems. I think mass vaccination is the outbreak simulation.
Right. There's a lot of, and the book doesn't really get into this, but I'm really questioning like just the nature of a lot of these diseases anyways, like polio, for example.
Yeah, you should.
Like, I think there's a lot of, I think a lot of these diseases were actually caused by environmental toxins.
Absolutely.
And No doubt. And I mean, they actually do get into how polio may have been caused by like DDT. And some of these like extremely toxic fertilizers and stuff. So I mean,
I think the medical industry is simply the Rockefeller smokescreen for the chemical industry. I think it started out of the chemical industry. So they're busy. Yeah. They're busy trying to industrialize all kinds of aspects of the world, including farming, and obviously whatever they're putting on the plants to kill other animals, even if they're much less significant than a human, like a mosquito or anything, if they go after the nervous system, and if you are exposed to enough of it directly or you bioaccumulate it, it's going to have some effect. It might not kill you like it kills a bug, but it's definitely not going to help you, because I'm pretty sure animals and insects, you know, we are animals, we're in the animal kingdom, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of the same mechanisms that the nerves that a mosquito has that we have maybe in our bodies, they probably work very similarly. So I'm not saying we're mosquitoes, but what else? There's only so many parts of make up anything natural.
Right.
Whatever makes us up.
And like the modern like American diet like complicates things even further, because most people are not eating even real food anymore. You know, we're not getting any, you know, real like natural nutrients from our food. Most people aren't drinking enough water. I mean, that's the thing. Like all the basics for maintaining your health, you don't need to go to a doctor. I mean, the only purpose for a doctor in my mind is if you like break your leg or something, you know, or have like some sort of like traumatic, you know, injury, like you're in a car crash or something like that. I mean, if you're sick, it's because there's an imbalance in your body.
And I agree.
You're not, exactly. You're not getting enough water. You're not eating right. You're stressed. You're not sleeping enough.
Yeah.
You're not getting enough exercises. I mean, that's all it is. And this is historically, people knew this.
Yep.
And that's why I really appreciate that book, that Dissolving Illusions, because they explain this very well. this was understood through trial and error. And, you know, especially following the even back like in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there were these mass forced vaccination campaigns.
Yes.
And it was resulting in a lot of people getting very sick, a lot of people, some people dying, some people having such bad reactions that they actually die. And, you know, people started figuring out, you know, look, if we want to prevent any of these diseases from spreading, we need to have, you know, we need to make sure that our cities are clean and we have clean drinking water and we're disposing of waste products and like these sort of basic things that we don't even think about anymore today because we're so spoiled. You know, back then, you know, our sewer systems weren't developed like they are today. Most people didn't have running water. Most people didn't have a toilet that they could go use a restroom in, you know, inside their house. So these were huge problems that were leading to a lot of health problems. And this is really like ultimately that's what improved our health and what led to the decline of all these diseases was just improvements in modern sanitation and, you know, modern living standards and stuff like that. It wasn't vaccination or any sort of medical intervention by any means.
Hey, John, did you try and get Suzanne on your show? How did you get Roman?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. I emailed them through their website, dissolvingillusions.com. And I guess she must be pretty busy, but
I haven't the reason I ask is I haven't seen her do any interviews. She has a Telegram channel. It's under her name.
Really? I didn't see her Telegram.
No, channel. I was trying to find anything recent of hers. That's why I asked if she's not doing interviews at all, cuz I couldn't find anything recent. She does post on her Telegram channel. So I'm always puzzled why all these people that, or many of these people that were so prominent in the virus, the vaccine, book writing or public speaking, where are they? What, this is their moment to shine. This is the biggest, vaccine virus story in the last 100 years. So why aren't these people all out there in center stage? It kind of baffles me. So the fact that she's missing,
they're getting threatened.
Yeah. Well, Roman came on, so I didn't even know he was a co-author of the book. But yeah, do you find that strange too, Marcus? That a lot of these people that.
No, I think they're getting threatened, and I know they're desperate for money, and they're getting cut off and censored, and it's a whole host of things.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I would definitely look for Suzanne to give a very clear-cut comment, because she's been doing this for a long time. I'm sure she's been knocked out of the medical system for a long time, because she...
Or maybe she took the vax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that be ironic?
Oh, I hope not. Yeah, I was going to say that would be tragic. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me. There's so many people who swear they wouldn't take the vax the next day. Yeah, I took the vax. I wanted to go travel.
Or eat at a restaurant. That's my favorite.
Eat at a restaurant.
And getting back to your saying not going to the doctor, I believe that when this thing first started, 2020, and people stopped going to the doctor, or the doctor didn't want anyone there and everything was going on Zoom, I think deaths went down the first year, which is the inverse of what would happen if it was a real pandemic. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that people were not going to the hospital or going to their doctor and getting more poison and or having more mistakes made on their bodies in a hospital. And I think it's
the number one cause for death.
Yeah,
it's doctor's mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the top two or three.
No, they say it's three. No, it's number one.
It's number one? Okay.
Because they make the mistake of giving you chemotherapy. That's how I look at it.
Well, that's all they've got though. Slash burner poison. But it's only in the last year, I guess we've had at least 12 solid months of vaccination, that the death rate has been going up, 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 up. It's definitely up. There's no doubt about that, I think. I don't think too many people are disputing that statistic, although you could dispute every statistic we've ever heard since 2020. But I'm pretty solid in the idea that the numbers are going up. And I think this is going to be a bad spring, too. I don't know.
Hey, John, are you familiar with Dr. Paul Thomas's 15,000 patient study?
No, I'm not. Dr. Paul Thompson?
Paul Thomas.
Paul Thomas. No, that doesn't ring a bell.
it's heavily censored. I'm going to give you what to type to find it, and it's mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to any search engine and type in something like pediatrician Paul Thomas, 15,000 patients.
Yeah, I put it on my website. I put the report or the story, but you know, Greg Wyatt, who has two really severely vaccine-damaged children, he doesn't mm-hmm. like Paul Thomas. He's part of the Dell Big Tree Safer Vaccines.
He's also a Freemason.
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, as revolutionary as that study might be, Greg still doesn't like him. He puts him in.
I don't like him either.
He puts
I'm just saying, if you can believe his study, mm-hmm. it'll show you that literally every vaccine leads to autoimmune issues.
Oh, I agree.
I agree. Yeah, no, I'm totally convinced of that. And I think it really depends. I mean, some people seem to have, like, vaccines seem to impact everybody differently, you know? Some mm-hmm. people don't seem to be that negatively impacted. Some people are severely impacted. Mm-hmm. So I think it obviously depends on each individual. But overall, the risks associated with any sort of vaccine, I don't care what it is, whether it's COVID or measles or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the risks far outweigh any potential benefit. And I don't even think there really are any benefits, frankly.
Well, I'm going to quote Tim. I always give Tim credit on this one. The vaccines do nothing at best and will maim or kill you at worst.
Right. Yeah. No, that's so true. That's so true.
And I don't even know if we know if all vaccines in a single lot or a single category are created equally. For instance,
yeah, they're not.
Who knows that for sure? If you were running the COVID vaccine where you knew that you were going to get most of the world, you would definitely test and have all kinds of tests going on with different ingredients and different lots. You would just know you'd blow this opportunity because you might not get it again. And maybe they do the same. Well, we know they do the same for flu shots. They tell us that they change it or they got it wrong, or they don't tell us maybe that they might change the flu shots for different areas of the world or the different areas of the country. And who's to say that the childhood vaccination schedule, which is at record highs, is something like 70 or 100 needles up until you're 6 years old. Who's to say that those vaccines are all the same? For instance, they might try different polio vaccines, different MMR. They might try all kinds. I don't even know. Are there different companies that create MMR? Or do they? Yep. So they could be running tests on the children at all times as well. And we have no way of knowing. There's no independent labs that do any kind of analysis on this stuff. They might be testing on our children year after year after year. And of course, children don't have a voice because most of them are injected before they even can form a thought, which is perfect.
And there's not one single scientific study of any vaccine in the history of history.
Yeah, so not one. What more do you need to know?
I know.
What more do you need to know that they've been experimenting on our children and now the rest of the world for the last 150 years? It's disgusting.
By the way, someone's going to say, they do studies all the time. Yeah, what they do, first of all, they're statistical studies. They're not scientific studies. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, they will use as a control. They won't use a placebo. They'll use a different vaccine as the difference.
Right. Well, with the same adjuvants in it. They won't use just saline.
So it's a similar comparison, so it doesn't look like it's really bad.
Yeah. It's pretty
weird. Do you guys I'm gonna let me say this real quick, and then I'm gonna have to run. Just real quick, do you remember when this was probably, I don't know, a few months ago, there was all these videos coming out of people going into like CVS or Walgreens and asking for the insert for the COVID vaccine, whatever it was.
And it was empty.
And they were presented, like a blank thing. I did that myself. And that is true. You go in there and I asked the pharmacy tech or whatever, and you know, he took it out. He's like, yeah, it's just a blank. And it says like literally blank. Insert
intentionally blank.
Yeah. Intentionally blank. Yeah. Like in a book, this page left intentionally blank to keep you confused and deceived and not question what we're sticking in your arm. They should put all that on there.
Yeah. Well, I just found that. So I mean, I guess it really just is a total reflection of just how ridiculous this whole society is, that people are just lining up to go take, to go stick this injection in their arm, and they don't even know what the hell's in it.
But that's marketing, you know? Again. They have what's known as the plausible excuse. The plausible excuse is we're in such a rush to get this out under the emergency, we didn't have time to put what we normally put once it's approved. They always have these lame excuses. So yeah, I agree.
It's crazy to think about.
Well, they put in your mind as well for people that are desperately ill where there's no cure, or there's some experimental cure that the drug company says, first of all, it costs, say, $500,000, and we really can't give it to you because we haven't tested it. And desperate people say, just let me try. I'm going to die anyway. So they've got that in people's mind as well, where they've really promoted that idea that there's this experimental thing. You have to go to another country and it costs millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars and we can't give it to you in the U.S. So there's that, where people actually have it in their mind that, yeah, if I needed to, of course I'd take an experimental thing if it would save my life. Which, of course, they've never claimed with any of the COVID vaccines. They've never said it would do. It never said it would stop a spread if there was such a thing. It never said it would prevent you from getting sick. They only said it could lessen your symptoms up to 90%. What,
you know, it could lessen your symptoms. It could prevent you from going to the hospital. Yeah.
And how would you measure less of a headache, or how would you measure less of a runny nose, or less of a, how could you measure less of a sore throat? There's no way. You can't do a double blind study on yourself. It's not possible. It's ridiculous. They're ridiculous claims.
Well, that's what I mean. If people can't see what's going on after this COVID situation, they're really never going to see through it. And it's so obvious now. I mean, it's been obvious for a very long time, but this COVID situation really kind of exposed the whole entire political and medical establishment. And
yeah,
if you're not asking questions, if you're still blindly trusting your doctor, and most of these doctors probably do mean well, they've just been brainwashed like the rest of them. It's like, look, you know, you deserve what you get, frankly. I mean, that's the way I look at it now.
They all do.
And I know that sounds harsh, but look, if if you can't think for yourself and you're not seeing any red flags with any of this, I mean,
you know, when you see these people and you've warned them, they unfortunately deserve what they get. That's I think most people, and I can see how sometimes I can think like an elite, and I can understand why they have so much disdain for the stupid, because there's a lot of them. And
there are three S's in marketing. There are three S's for people, especially when it comes to truth.
Yeah,
the selfish, the scared, and the savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And the selfish are the stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even bother with them. Nothing I can say is going to change your mind. The savvy people like us, well, that's an echo chamber. I'm not going to waste my time on them.
Yeah.
I have 100% of my attention on the scared. They're scared. They know something is wrong. They don't know what it is. And they just need to hear us. So that's who I go after. I don't care.
And the scared are what, like 80% of the population or more?
it's generally like a third, a third, a third. That's the way I look at it, which is a lot of people. Can help a lot of people just going after that one group.
Well, I think
talking amongst ourselves is not going to help the situation we're in right now. We already know what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an echo chamber. And again, talking to the selfish, the stupid, there's nothing you can do to convince them. You could have stacks and reams of proof, and they're like, you're not a doctor. What do you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I still like talking to the savvy, and you guys are both really savvy, and I really appreciate talking to you guys. It's been a couple hours, and I'm glad you finally made it on, John. And Marcus, thank you for coming in early to keep the engine running while we're waiting for John. But overall,
yeah, my pleasure. It was good talking to you, John.
Yeah. You too. Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It was good to catch up. We'll have to. I know we said this last time. We should try to do this maybe a little bit more regularly.
Yeah.
And not every once every 2 years.
Yes, but you know, especially since we mostly agree, but we have way more in common than we have in difference, all of us. So I still think it's good to recharge your batteries with people that know what they're talking about. And now that I realize that your interviews are going again, I know you sometimes you go on and off, but it seems like you're going strong again. Now I have three more audios of yours that I'm going to start to listen to. So everyone should look up therealistreport.com and go listen to some of these audios. A lot of good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thanks.
And donate to, and you have a donate button, so everyone should support independent media. I don't care who's doing it. If someone's doing it consistently, like you are, then you should be supported if people want more of it.
Right. I agree. You know, that donate button will take you to a page basically explaining you can't publicly donate to me, so you have to contact me via email because I have no way of publicly accepting a donation. So yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. It's a pain in the ass, but that's okay.
Well, that's good. And Marcus's website, of course, is escapethenewnormal.com, and everyone should go there too.
I agree with that. Everyone should go there.
Right, everyone. Now. Everyone go right now. And
just do it.
Yeah, do it. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. I'm going to hang up because good sleep is good health, as you guys just said.
All right. Sleep. Take care, guys.
All right.
All right.
Take care, guys.
All the best. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.